SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, is the good, the bad, the dumb, a Monday, all weekend to determine some of the good, and let's have it.
All right, the good of the weekend, or actually got two good, but this one...
Oh, good.
This one's fantastic. It's Rex Ryan from the top rope.
Oh, very nice.
That was
nice.
Bobby Carpenter explaining that every year that he played in the NFL, he would have his toenails
Why are we doing this again?
Before the season began, so they wouldn't just get smashed up, and then they would just sort of grow in at their own pace over the course of the year.
This is a morning show.
I understand that.
Okay,
most
we got to quit talking about feet and toenails while people are eating their Cheerios.
All right. Well, let's not talk about feet.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say,
Wonderful.
Oh,
well done.
Couldn't say it better myself.
You know what? Get ahead of the problem. Say what we're all thinking. Yep. Well done.
I mean, if you've watched that video, the first time you were sitting there, you're looking at it like, do they realize what they're talking about and who they're talking about that in front of?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So happy he just came right out.
Good for him, man. That is so great. Good for him.
Let's just stop talking about feet.
Now, you know, it's that I love people when they do that. They kind of go, they say something like, you know, you're all kind of thinking that I may have said something about this or I was talking about this back in the day and it got me a little bit of media for that. And now he makes fun of himself for that. I like that. It's very warming and a very good PR move.
Yes.
To get people to get, you know, more on your side.
And honestly, I mean, I see that just like the off the cuff humor, the relaxedness that he has, and that he's a great football mind. You almost look at it like you can develop a show around him.
I know, exactly.
Just have fun with it.
He's a good. That was really smart. That was a good smart move. I saw somebody else do that over the weekend, and I can't remember. I couldn't remember. Somebody else made the same kind of joke about something that was part of their past. And I think it was in politics, but I'm not sure. But it was the same. I had the same feeling. I immediately warmed up to that individual.
Yeah,
saying, "Oh, that's right. You know what? Good for you."
Self-deprecating humor.
Self-deprecating humor is the key.
I may not know what sanguine means, but I know what I can do. Self-deprecating humor.
That is right. Absolutely.
The other good of the day is Phil Mickelson.
Oh, he is really good
On Twitter or on social media this weekend. If you didn't hear his the hotel he was staying in was struck by lightning. And caught on fire.
This is why I hate lightning. This is why lightning scares me to death. It is unbelievably dangerous. I don't think we really understand how incredibly dangerous it is. We always go, oh, look, this is so beautiful. A lightning show. That is death. You are staring at death.
So here's what he tweeted when it first happened. How is this for crazy? My hotel was struck by lightning. I was on top floor. We were evacuated and the place is on fire. Only thing of mine on fire this week.
I know.
I can't get back into my room and may miss my tea time because I am without clubs and clothes.
He also said his clubs were a fire retardant.
Yes. That was the second tweet. Lucky him.
He's really doing this right.
And then if you haven't caught the latest of Fireside, was it Fireside with Phil?
Fireside with Phil.
He interviewed Tiger Woods this week.
Yeah, he did. He had Tiger Woods on this like iPad with pictures, and he talked to Tiger as if Tiger was there and not talking.
Yep.
But the problem with the Fireside with Phil, and I know what he was doing, he told a story that he has told many times before about Tony Romo. They were at Pebble Beach one year. Tony Romo was a playing partner of Tiger Woods. They get invited to Jim Nance's dinner. Romo is there. Tiger is not. Phil sits next to Romo. They start talking football and having a good time. And he knew it would get under Tiger's skin if Tiger knew that his playing partner was having dinner with Phil the night before. So Phil brought it up as they were walking down the first fairway. And he could see that Tiger was not very pleased with Tony Romo for having dinner with Phil Mickelson the night before. He's told that story before. It's a good story. It's a really, really good story. But I wish he had told a different one because I was really hoping it was one I hadn't heard before.
Well, maybe he'll get around to it. But I think the greatest thing about it was that he was just cycling through pictures of Tiger.
Yeah, it was really funny. He goes, and then he gave him this face.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and he goes back and goes, I like this face better. Phil's good. You know what I think Phil is angling for? And I'll tell you, I think he sees it with his former caddy. I think Phil's angling for a TV job.
Yeah. Oh God.
I think he sees
like a talk show host.
I think he sees Bones because Bones is doing on course commentary now, his old caddy. And I think he says, you know what? I think I could do studio work for these networks in golf. I could be the next Johnny Miller. I know the sport. I'm not afraid to say anything. I'm very, you know, fans warm up to me. I can be funny. I think he's angling for a TV gig. Of course, it'll be a while. I mean, he's got the Champions Tour, but I don't know if the Champions Tour, would that be appealing to Phil Mickelson to play on the old time tour? Or do you think he would be like, nah, I'd like to do some TV.
Yes. I don't know if he would, what he would, at least for like the first 10 years.
Yeah. Maybe so.
I don't think he would appreciate it because he's still playing well now.
With guys half
his age.
I'm trying to get out and play as much golf as I can. I don't get to play golf at all anymore. I hardly ever get to the course. I get bummed out. But when you do it for a living and you do it every day and all you think about is golf and how you practice and where you practice and when you practice, I wonder after 20, 25, 30 years of that, you go, all right, I want to do something else. I don't want to wake up and go to the range every day or putt balls every day or chip every day. I want to do something different. And I wonder if he's angling for TV. He'd be great on TV. I think he'd be really good.
I think so too.
He's great. I think he'd be great on TV. And these things he's doing on social media are brilliant. The stories are fantastic. There was one he did with Padraig Harrington where Padraig Harrington told him how he got stiff for a 5-figure dinner in Singapore because Phil just brought out all these wines, these different wines, because he lost a bet and he had to pay for dinner. So Phil said, well, if you're paying for dinner, here's all the wines we want. Brought out all these different wines. It was great. He's doing really great, but that's a really good good. All right, let's get to the bad.
The bad of the day, Louisiana Lafayette coach is requiring players to donate to school's athletic scholarship fund.
Is this Billy Napier?
Yes.
I love Billy Napier. Good kid. Good. Well, not a kid anymore, but he was a coach at Clemson about 10 years ago.
Yep.
But what's he doing?
He is encouraging all his players who are on scholarship to make the minimum level payment of $50 to the Raging Cajun Athletic Foundation.
Can he do that?
It's optional for guys who are walk-ons.
Can he do that?
I don't know if he can. I just think the mere fact of suggesting it to a college kid to say, hey, can you donate to the college fund or to the scholarship fund? I don't get the move here. I don't get why this is.
I don't either.
Why this needs to even be said.
By the way, I mean, $50 to a college kid might as well be like $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what are you talking about?
When was the last time? You remember back in college, you had a spare 50? Did you ever?
No. I don't really barely remember that. Come on. That's weird. I mean, obviously, listen, I think it's probably gone through the protocol. I mean, I'm sure his athletic director or people in his department have gone through it and said, is this something we can do before we have our coach publicly ask the players to do this? But it does seem odd that you're asking them to contribute to something. No, it's a fair trade. I give you my athletic ability, you give me a scholarship, and let's end that. Like, you don't give you any more. Like, you give me a scholarship, and I give you basically my life for 4 years as the best of my ability to make this football program what it is.
I mean, if this is something that's enforced, wouldn't this make it, hey, you got to start paying football players?
Right.
Argument even stronger?
Oh, of course. If you're going to take actual cash out of their pockets for this, I don't understand why he's doing it. To be honest with you, I don't understand why he would do that. I mean, it's one thing if a coach says, hey, you want to give, we're going to give some time to this or we're going to give some time to that. But to ask players to pony up money.
Right.
And when you got 100 football players, so what? It's going to be 50, you know, it's going to be $5,000 to the department or whatever it is. I don't know if that's I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this move.
No, neither. It doesn't sound right.
I hope it's not like enforced.
Yeah,
like me either. You have to do this.
Exactly. All right, what is the dumb of the day
is there's a candy shop in Pennsylvania and Ohio. They have 9 shops across this. It's called Grandpa Joe's. And they have come out with an Oreo cookie that's stuffed with a dill pickle slice covered in chocolate.
Okay, that, what?
Why do we, why?
Don't Frankenstein this stuff,
why?
Guys.
listen, I mean, you know what? You peaked when you decided to flip-flop and just, you know, put the white cookie on the outside and the have black chocolate icing on the inside.
Whoa, what are you talking about? Would they have that?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. You haven't
Where?
Had that?
No!
What?
I kind of want to have that now.
That one you can get behind. You know, the traditional Oreo cookie, they've
I definitely
it.
Can get behind that.
They have they've switched it.
I did not know that.
You gotta go check out the stores.
Okay. I remember the last Oreo cookie thing I saw was like red velvet or something. Red velvet cookie.
This was a long time ago, and I think they still have it in stores.
Okay.
They also have a heads and tails one.
It's now, is this a white cookie or is it the yellow cookie?
Yellow.
Okay, I think I've seen that before. My vision was that it was white as the cream in the middle.
No.
So it's like yellow with vanilla in the middle?
Yeah, whenever they do vanilla in a cookie, some reason it turns yellow.
Okay, I got you. I think I have seen that. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. And then they did mega stuff one time, which I did not enjoy.
No, that's too much.
It's a little too much. There is a limit on that.
Yeah, double stuff. You can't go past double stuff.
Yeah, but don't give me triple stuff. Don't give me XL stuff. I don't need any of that stuff.
Putting a pickle slice, dill pickle slice inside of an Oreo.
That is insane.
And covering it with chocolate does not hide the fact that this is disgusting.
Yeah, that is. I'm not behind that whatsoever.
Yeah, and I don't. You don't need to change the Oreo cookie is America's favorite cookie for a reason,
right?
You can't improve on being America's favorite cookie,
exactly.
I guess putting a pickle slice in there, does that make you like Zimbabwe's favorite cookie? I don't know.
I every time we talk Oreos, I always tell you I ate a whole box once.
Yep,
during one day of the AFC NFC Championship games in 1993. Yes, I did. My roommates in college were like, finish that. And I was like, okay, I will. They're like, I bet you can. I go, I will. I don't know how many calories that was. I don't want to know. I probably should have died in some kind of coma, sugar coma.
You know, don't worry about the sugar rush. You're going to have the fact that you're going to be up for the next three straight days.
But let me just make this clear. I didn't eat it all in one city like Joey Chestnut. Like, it was over two long AFC and NFC championship games. I ate a bag of double stuffed Oreos.
Fine. That's fine.
Like, I started at like noon Eastern time.
Yeah,
and I think I got done at like 8 o'clock.
There might have been a bathroom break in between. Because, you know, when these guys are in food competitions, they're not allowed to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
That's why you weren't in a food competition.
And you probably were thinking your body was like, oh my God, what are you doing? Now, my body was like, okay, it must be a day that ends in Y to get this sort of nonsense. Mr. Unhealthy bought a juicer once to see if he could be healthy. That lasted a week.
I mean,
didn't want to clean it, so he'd rather go back to eating ramen noodles dipped in chocolate syrup.
It's college. Some people go through a case of beer. Others, you know, finish off a sleeve of cookies.
That's right. Macaroni and cheese and hot dogs for a week and a half.
Yep.
Good job.
That's why you can't ask a kid to give $50. He's eating Oreo cookies. That's it.
That's right.
He only had enough money to buy one package of Oreo cookies, and that was his dinner.
That's exactly right. God. Good, the bad, and the dumb. That's good stuff on a Monday. It's SB Nation Radio.